You know, you've seen it in the, probably any good movie that has any kind of action or adventure, but it's a place in the movie, maybe it's the climax or maybe it's some other kind of portion, but it becomes its own climax when there is tensions and mounting where one of the main characters is in distress or in desperate need, and out of the blue, unexpected, of course not completely unexpected because you were always hoping for it, but then comes a hero. Somebody sweeps in out of the place that was totally unexpected in the story of the picture and comes in and brings the extra power, the extra force, the extra presence that's needed to save the day. Perhaps maybe still fantasy, but a little bit more reality. It's, you know, football season. And you're down, your team is down with only seconds to go and your defense has just finally stopped the other team. You're going to get one more chance, maybe another just 30, 40 seconds to score a touchdown. And you look at the sideline and your quarterback, Peyton Manning, perhaps, comes in from the side. You're like, yes, if anybody can do it in 30 or 40 seconds, he's the guy. And he has many times, hasn't he? Well, in the fullness of time, in the story of history, God comes to the rescue. And it's no fantasy, but it is a surprise who he sends. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Just a few verses here. Not your typical Christmas morning story, but I guarantee it's about Christmas. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. This is God's word. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. This is God's word, and let me pray. God, I ask that you would let your word come alive, and that you would speak, God, this morning, and be Emmanuel, speaking to our hearts, because you have, God, indeed come to earth, and you do indeed live and reign at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So we ask that your Spirit would come, and exalt yourself and show us the real meaning of Christmas this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just 2 points this morning. Number one, I think it'll be on the screen behind me. Jesus came to satisfy the demands of the law so that he could satisfy the desires of his heart. Now I know it's Christmas, and I know that even though we might talk and act like that it's about Jesus, but let's be honest with you. Isn't it really more about the desire of our hearts? I bet all of you had some kind of a Christmas wish list. And yeah, you big kids out there. Yeah, you adults. I'm talking to you. You might have acted like, well, you can get me anything you want. You know, oh, I don't need anything. But you probably had something on there you're hoping or you are still hoping to find and to see. Or if you got pushed on it, there'd be something that, yeah, this would be kind of fun. This would be kind of nice. And of course, some of you kids here on the list, you know, you've got several legal pages of notes of what they could be getting, but it is about fulfilling our desires. And although that's certainly a part of Christmas, we often forget that it was first about fulfilling God the Father's desire. God in heaven, it was about his desire. You see, this text tells us in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. God started. God initiated. And we're told that he comes to, and is born of a woman under the law so that he might actually live a perfect life that met all the requirements of the law. Like the Ten Commandments. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, have no other gods before me, don't take the Lord's name in vain. You know the list. You've heard of the list. To live it perfectly, and not just outwardly, but perfectly from his heart, with never a second of an impure motive. To live completely, selflessly, every second of the day, from birth until his death on the cross. He came so he might fulfill the law for us. But this passage goes on to say it wasn't just about saving us, saying, hey, I kept the law for you. Your faith in me will save you. But what did he want? He wanted to receive us as sons. His desire was that his Spirit would come into our hearts, and that Spirit comes in and it cries out, Abba, or Daddy, Father, to give us a spirit of sonship, to make us understand that we are his, Christmas began with the desire of God, God the Father, for lost, wayward people who had given up their rights as sons. And Adam and Eve did that, by the way, when they chose to sin in the Garden of Eden, when God had promised them everything, when they were heirs to all that He had. They ruled here as vice regents here on earth. They gave it all away for a taste of what it might be like to be equal to God. And they got anything but equality with God from that point on. Their dignity was stripped from their understanding of it, their sense of who God was, the doubt entered into their heart, fear that they never felt before they felt from that day on. And they were outcast from a garden. They were outcast from God's holiness, God's presence. And where wayward people had left, God comes after them. God comes pursuing us. And that is the story of Christmas, is God pursuing us. And He desires not just to pursue us, that alone, but to have a fatherly relationship with us. Even though we gave up our rights as children of God, He came back to say, look, you turned your back on me, you ran away from me, I would love to adopt you back into the family. And He comes with that kind of a passion as a father for us. And this is demonstrated by Him coming to earth. And He does it in the only way possible. He comes and He fulfills the law. He becomes, as the Bible says, a second Adam. Adam number one in the Garden of Eden messed it all up, he and Eve. But He comes as a second Adam to come and live the life that we never could, to come and live perfectly. And when He was tempted, and the Bible says He's tempted in all ways as we are, He was found sinless. He chose to humble Himself even to the point of death on a cross for us. The first thing about Christmas is He did satisfy the demands of the law, but it was to satisfy His desires. Do you know what it's like to be desired this morning? Kids, do you know what it's like to be the one that you get picked first when they're picking for teams for football or soccer or basketball? Do you know what it's like when your teacher picks you out in class, kids, and says, hey, you're the one that I want to come help me on this special project? How about you bigger kids, you grown-ups? What about it when it's your boss at work that says, hey, Sally, or hey, Bob, I need you on this project. I need you running point with it because I think you're the only one that can handle it. Or what about when it's your little toddler running in and he runs past big brother, big sister, probably runs past dad, and he beelines for mom? You're desired because you're the only one that can meet his need. The one he desired. Isn't it awesome to be desired? And isn't it awesome to be desired by somebody who is significant? God, the creator of the universe, desires you. That is the primary message of Christmas. And that is why God sent His Son. And that is why the Son was obedient to the point of death. And that is why His Son says, look, I'm going to go back to heaven. I know you think it's better for me to hang around with you, but if my Spirit comes and lives inside you and transforms and gives you a new heart, trust me, it'll be better. And then I'll come back again. Number one, not only has Jesus come to satisfy the demands of the law so that He could satisfy the desires of His heart. Number two, Jesus came to satisfy the demands of the law so that He could satisfy the desires of our heart. But that is definitely number two. You know, you see, we desire to be set free from slavery. In fact, the verse here tells us that. So, verse 7, so you are no longer a slave. The Bible says that anybody who has not received His Son is a slave. And nobody, especially Americans, nobody hates that more than we Americans. The idea of being a slave, excuse me, there was a Declaration of Independence. I'm free. I have rights. And God says, nothing. No, you don't. None of the things that really matter. You don't have the freedom to live and be who you were created to be. And you know what enslaves you most is that you think you don't need it. You think you got it. You think you're okay on your own. You think this world can satisfy and give you what you want. You're enslaved to your ignorance, to your blind spots. God comes and says, you are a slave. And nobody, even us, more probably than us Americans who think we have freedom, kind of maybe hunger for it and want it more than anybody else, continue to look for that freedom. But there are people around the world that know slavery in much more direct ways than we do, and they long for freedom. They know they need it. We just don't know we need it like they do. Well, we all long for that, and God comes. He wants to set us free. And let me tell you some of the things He wants to set you free of this morning. And if there's nothing on this list, then just forget what I'm talking about here and go enjoy your lunch this afternoon. And don't let anything we've said this morning impact you or anything God's Word has. But if something on this list hits you, this is something that God wants to set you free from. He wants to set you free from the fear of unmet needs. He wants to set you free from the fear of unmet needs. His Word tells us that He will provide you everything that you need. If you seek first My kingdom, all these things that you need will be added to you. He wants to set you free from the fear of not mattering, of thinking that, you know, nobody really gives a rip about you. Oh, they act like it, but they really don't. He wants to set you free from the fear of suffering. Gosh, what if something's going to come my way in 2007 that I just really can't handle? I'm not up for it. Maybe something already has come your way in 2006 that you can't handle and you're not up for it. And you know what that fear is like. He wants to set you free from the fear of being alone. What a great portrayal on this drama here this morning. A fear that we can all deeply have. And what's even worse is being around a lot of people and still feeling alone. He wants to set you free from the fear of never finding joy, of thinking that joy will just be something that always eludes you. It's something that your neighbor has. It's something that your distant relative has. It's something that somebody at work has or at school, but it's something that you'll never have. And you fear that. He wants to set you free from the need to appear right. You ever need to appear right? Do you ever feel the need to appear right? Holidays are a great time to give us that opportunity to experience that kind of need. When you get around relatives that maybe you don't get along with all the time, or you're around people that you enjoy, but it's like 24/7 now, and you're ready to get back to work and school so you can get some distance. How about being set free from the need of having to have control? The need of having to have control, rather than trusting and relinquishing that God controls it all, and He has your best interest in mind. How about free from the need of comfort? How about free from the need of approval? How about free from the need of enslaving others? Isn't it interesting that we who are slaves, we who hate the thought of slavery, are all about living and so often enslaving others? Letting others exist for the serving our own purposes. Manipulating others, directly, indirectly, actively or passively, using other people for our purposes alone, making them our slaves. Well, He came not just to set us free from the slavery of sin, and that's something that we all deeply desire, and I bet I've hit something, at least one, that hits you this morning. But He wanted to satisfy something else, a desire in our heart, not just to not be slaves, but we have a desire in our heart that we're created with, to desire to have an inheritance. To desire to have a significance that goes greater than who we are. To desire to have something that makes us transcendent. To feel like our purpose is one that actually has eternal ramifications. To feel like that there's somebody that has merits on our behalf that we don't have. Listen to some of the things that the Bible tells us. That we are our heirs. Being heirs to the kingdom of God makes us heirs that trust that their needs will be met. An heir trusts that his needs will be met. He knows that ultimately he's going to inherit something that will take care of his needs. An heir knows that they matter because somebody has made them an heir to their kingdom and throne. They don't question if they matter. An heir has a hope that is stronger than the circumstances they suffer, because they know that one day the realization of this inheritance will be made known. And although things are tough now, it's not going to always be that way. An heir knows that they have a family connection and a legacy. I mean, most people that inherit things, right, do it through some kind of a family relationship. It's a reminder of that connection, that familial connection. Heirs know that they have, heirs have joy now because they are heirs, but they have an expectation for even greater joy. I mean, wouldn't you all think it was pretty cool if somebody told you this morning that you were going to inherit $1 million? I mean, how many of you would feel happy? Raise your hand honestly. If you would feel happy if you just found out you were going to inherit $1 million. I now know who is sleeping in the congregation and totally missed that. But wouldn't you be happier when you actually got $1 million? I mean, it'd make you happy now. Okay, all you got to do is watch some of the game shows on TV and people get happy. Okay, but it's even happier when it actually, the check comes into your hand, or years later when you actually become the recipient of that promised inheritance. Gosh, heirs of the kingdom of God experience joy now, but they know the joy is even going to get better, and their expectations are looking there. Heirs know that they have what they need. Heirs know that they are secure. Heirs know that their comfort is secure, ultimately. Heirs know that they have already been approved. There's no further need to work for the inheritance. If you're an heir, you're already approved. Heirs are free to bring others also into their inheritance. You don't have to enslave others. But you have the joy to know that, hey, and you parents know this too, to know that, hey, if you inherit something, it's exciting to think that you will even be able to be one that can pass things on to your children. And maybe it's just not finances. Maybe it's family heirlooms and important, precious things. Maybe it's the legacy of faith. Nothing more precious than that you can pass on. But heirs know that they have the ability to bring their inheritance and pass it on to others as well. We desire to be set free from the slavery of sin. We desire to be heirs and to know the inheritance. And God desires us. And He offers life to us. Jesus comes offering freedom from slavery, but it's only experienced when we choose to trust God and relinquish control ourselves. When we choose to say that, all right, instead of trusting in my own good works, my own ability, we say, you know, I'm going to forget that game because I might fool a few people, but not everybody. And I never fool myself anyway, when I'm honest. I'm going to trust the good works of Jesus Christ, how He earned God's favor, how He lived perfectly where I couldn't. Rather than trust that I can store up for myself an inheritance that's worthy, make a name for myself, establish myself, gain the approval and favor of other people, people I don't really like, but nevertheless, people out there, when we relinquish that sense of inheritance to find the only one true inheritance that really matters, that lasts for eternity, that comes from God the Father, that's a promise of eternal life, that's a promise of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all the things that Christmas carols have us singing about, but very few experiencing. We begin to experience the fruits of those inheritance now in faith when we walk with God. Christmas can be just like it always is. Or this year, Christmas can transform your life. And for some of you, you're in need of the transformation that you never had before. You know you haven't ever really given Christ control of your life. That you haven't really relinquished control. That maybe you've been religious, but you just haven't submitted your heart to Him. Remember that He desired you before you desired Him. That He sent His Son into this world. He desires us this morning. He desires you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've wandered from Him. Your relationship with God's grown cold. And God is coming and reminding you that don't forget why I came. Don't forget who you are and your inheritance. Don't forget what I came to set you free from. But we must choose to die to what we think will set us free. Those things I said were enslaving us. We must choose to die to that rather than choose to live and to receive the power of God through Jesus Christ. To live for God. To live for His glory. And some of us need to come and say, God, I need to repent. I need to turn back to You this morning. If you're in either one of those places this morning, Christmas to you can be more than just unwrapping a few gifts and seeing some friends and having some nice food. And come when you wake up the morning of December 26th, there will be an inner peace that you feel and know that goes way beyond the warranty of the nicest gift you get. So as we come to the Lord, as we come to His table here in a second, as a great reminder, please don't look at the cute manger and the shepherds and the sheep without looking to where Jesus was going. Because the cradle led Him to a cross for you and for me. And please don't stop here, because the cross has led Him to the throne of God, where He reigns on high now, and where He's establishing His kingdom, and where He's promising to return. So as we come to the Lord's table, we come remembering what His birth was for. But we don't stop there. We come remembering where His birth is taking us, to His children, His church, to all those who believe in His name, to all those who trust Him, to a rich inheritance, bringing His kingdom here to earth. Let's pray. God, we look to You to be that hope this morning. We look to You to be our strength this morning. And God, for those that are here that are wondering about where they are and You're standing before You, God, of those that hear that know that they seek You, would You give them the grace, God, to respond and to pray a prayer or something like this in their heart? Lord Jesus, I need You. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and slave to my sin. And I look to Jesus Christ to be the only one who can forgive my sin. The only one who lived a life that was perfect. And I trust in His perfect life to be credited to my benefit and for my sins to be placed on Jesus instead. And now I receive eternal life that You promise. And for some that are here that are wandering, that know the Lord but are needing to return, perhaps you might pray a prayer like this. God, my heart's grown cold. I've been distant. I have wandered away. But God, I trust that as I return, as I come confessing the sins and the way that I've gone back to living an enslaved life, that as I return, You will set me free, just like You did the day I first trusted You. Set me free here again, this Christmas Eve and this Christmas, to live for You. So God, we ask that You would come and let Christmas take on new life and new power and new meaning. God, let us truly celebrate the child that became a man for us. And God, come and now commune with us as we come to Your table, as we come remembering what Your birth was directed towards. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.